Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Well, hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I just want to go ahead and thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It is indeed a pleasure to have all of you all on our network this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and as always, I am very excited about that. So you can certainly join us at any point in time at drjessewalker.com. You can also join us at any point in time by simply going in and listening live by calling 347-857-1769. Once again, you can listen to this show live simply by calling 347-857-1769. We are so excited that you take time out each and every week. For those of you all that tune in to our broadcast, we're so excited that you do that on a weekly basis, and we always look forward to hearing from you. You can also go into the archives and listen to some of the shows that we've done, some past shows, simply by going to drjessewalker.com. Or you can go to drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will certainly get you into our show. You will definitely want to hear tonight's topic. It's a very good topic. We've gotten a lot of response from topics in the past that we have done that are quite similar to this. And I'm sure you would enjoy this topic as well. My co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, she will be joining us momentarily. So those of you all, and I encourage you to check out her show. She'll come on in a few minutes, and she'll certainly introduce her broadcast, and you'll be able to tune in to her show as well. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I encourage you to go to my website and check out the products and services that are available there. Who knows, you just may find something there that may be of interest to you. So you can go ahead and do that. As soon as Ms. Blake comes in, she's going to give you an update on some of the things that's going on with her, including her brand new show. And I'll let her tell you the topic for that as soon as she presses one to come on into the studio. All right. Some of the past shows that we've had include, you always hear me talk about this one, should dating come with an expiration date? And I say still, same day, I say yes. All right, let's go ahead and bring Ms. Blake in, and then we'll talk about some of the past shows. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Thank you for that hint. Oh, wow. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great. I trust that you are as well. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm looking forward to a very exciting show tonight, a great topic that we have to discuss. And I did hear you talking about the radio show that I have started as well.
Right. And I want the listening audience to be in tune to what it is that you're doing over the air, and so that they can even become a listener and follower on your broadcast.
Well, thank you. And, of course, I'm always telling people about our show here, the show that you have that helps families and discusses relationships. So the show that I started was on Monday evenings at 9. It is a more adult topic show for preferably people 30 and above, but definitely over 18. And it's called Two Sips in Conversation. And the concept is at the end of a day that you can sit down, sip on your favorite beverage, could be a nice cold glass of water, and just listen and have a conversation about relationships and sexuality, open, honest, tasteful conversation. So I'm excited. And also you can tune in by calling the same number that you call the Dr. Jesse Walker Show on. And if you want to find out more, you can also visit my website at fosteringleaders.org. And that's it, Dr. Walker.
Okay. All right. And then I understand you also have some books out there, Ms. Blake. Didn't mention that.
I do have them. I have written a book, Falling in Love with Me. There are two versions of that book. One is called Mutual Enhancement, The Key to Healthy, Fulfilling Relationships. And there's an updated version just called Falling in Love with Me. Pretty much you can look for the book. You can find it on Amazon.com or you can go directly to the website I referenced earlier, fosteringleaders.org. Look for the book with the heart on it. There are some people who have used similar titles since I've written the book. So, and also Dying to Wake Up, if you like novels, it's an e-book. Dying to Wake Up is another work of mine.
Okay. All right. Great. Ms. Blake, let me ask you this question in reference to some of our past shows that we've done over the air. What, if anything, may have been one of your favorite that we've broadcast over the air?
Wow, we've had so many. I know we did a show, and I may not have the best the topic name, but it had to do with knowing when to get out of a relationship. The actual subject is not coming to me, but, you know, a lot of people are in unhealthy relationships, and I certainly believe in making relationships work, but sometimes I think we talked about that expiration date. Should the relationship come with that?
Yeah. Right. I always seem to reiterate that one in particular. And there's a reason for that, because I think that, and this is just my humble and personal opinion, I think that there's a lot of people that actually waste their precious time out there. And, you know, that is so unfortunate when people do that. So I hate to see that happening to so many people, because they actually do waste a lot of their precious time trying to make relationships work when, you know, it's just dead. It's done. You know, when they can
really
click back, go on to some other relationship where they can be happy. And in some cases, you know, there's nothing wrong with being by yourself for a moment.
Exactly. Right. You know, one of the things that we talked about on the show that I did on Mondays, we had a caller that commented that, you know, you have to be happy with who you are before you can be happy with someone else. And that's also the theme of my book, Falling in Love with Me. So, you know, people sometimes get into relationships too quickly and they get in bad relationships because they don't know who they are and they're not happy. So, you know, you can always make a choice.
Well, that's true. But sometimes it may seem that it's easier said than done. Why is that the case?
The heart. Yeah, the heart. That's why. Sometimes the heart doesn't want to do what the mind knows it should do.
Right.
So
and that,
lining those two up.
That becomes the challenge. That is definitely the challenge. And so you find that we go through those things. And when we're trying our best to circumvent that in some way or other, it doesn't always seem to pan out for us. But you know what? You know, what about when people say, and I want to throw this out here, what about when people say, well, you know what? you should pray about it. What about situations like that? Do you find that that might be, when people are saying that, that they're looking for an easy way?
Well, prayer is always a good thing. But what I'm learning more and more is it's not just about praying, but it's being in tune to what you're hearing when you pray. Because some people ask for answers and they really don't want to hear the real answer.
Right.
So sometimes I often say the signs are all around you. You know, sometimes we're saying, oh, God, give me a sign. And God is like, how many more signs can I send you?
You know, there are some stories that people have about being rescued. And they talk about that, and I think that that is important, that people are waiting to be rescued. And I know that I have one of those stories to be shared, and I would love to be able to share that. And I'm not sure if I would get it right. And maybe you know that one. That's the one about the house that was flooding or something to that effect. The man was up on the rooftop, and he kept asking, you know, praying, God, can you please send me some help, you know, to rescue me? And, you know, first time around, maybe someone came by with a boat, and they say, well, look, I'm here to help you. And he said, no, I'm still waiting on my help. And then two other people came along to rescue the man, and he was waiting on his help.
Yeah, he said, somebody's coming, don't worry about it. They're coming soon. And he missed them. He missed the three ways that God sent him help.
Right, he sure did. He certainly did.
Dr. Walker, if I may interject and help along the way of this conversation, you know, and he was kind of fussing at God, like, God, I thought you told me you were going to help me. And he was like, I sent three people, you know. So oftentimes that's what happens to us in life and people in relationships. They want signs, and people get clear signs, but because they don't want to hear it, they don't tune into it. Are we still on the air? Hello, Dr. Walker, are you hearing me?
They called me. Cool. Yeah, so we're back here. Ms. Blake, if you press 1, we can certainly bring you back in. All right, like I say, Ms. Blake and I were talking about some past shows, and, you know, within those past shows, we do apologize for the technical difficulty that we encountered just momentarily. But some of the past shows have been basically that, you know, we talk about expiration dates with dating. We talk about, you know, various things that is easier said than done to just walk out of a dead-end relationship. And so, yes, of course, it is rather disturbing when you have these relationships where people stay in for the long haul and the relationship clearly is not worth it. So those are some of the things that we deal with. Ms. Blake, are you back with us?
Yes, I am, Dr. Walker. It may be my telephone. But, yes, as I was just saying, people just miss the signs sometimes. So we've had some really good shows that really we hope that have ministered to people and maybe help people to wake up of certain situations that they may be in.
Right, right. And so tonight's topic is, could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? You know, what do you think about when you hear a topic like that? Could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents?
I think it's quite possible. I'm a firm believer in the impact of genetics.
Yes, and when you think about, we're thinking about in terms of the relationship impact that negativity plays on it as well. We've done a show on that. The impact that negative attitudes have on, on your relationship. We've done shows exclusively on that. And what's your take on something like that?
Well, definitely, the sign used to say attitude is everything. So attitude definitely has a strong impact on relationships.
Yes, and they do. They do. All right, let's take a look at it. Could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? I think sometimes yes, and we're perhaps unaware that our attitudes are like that of our parents. And sometimes even when people call us out on it, we don't even see it. That's my take on it. And oftentimes we get right caught up into that, and it takes a family member. It could be an auntie or an uncle that someone comes along and says, well, listen, I know that you you act just like your father. Not only do you look like him, but you act just like your father. So, you know, and sometimes when they're saying that, it's not necessarily a good thing, and sometimes it's not always a bad thing. Have you ever been identified as saying, you know, I see characteristics in you that are very similar to a family member or other?
Well, you know, I definitely have seen individuals that are like that. And as I said, I'm a firm believer of that simply because, you know, I have the blessing of knowing it from both sides. I was adopted, raised as an adoptee, but knew it, and then found my biological family at age 22. But that's a whole nother show. And
right.
The similarity in personality trait is just profound. And so, yeah, and I see it with my children. I see it in family members, and which explains sometimes why family members have problems getting along, because they're so much alike.
Right, right, right. That is so true. That is so true. Let me see if I can get another caller to comment on here. Let's go to the phone line, 786-985. Welcome. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon, Dr. Walker and Ms. Blake. This is
good afternoon.
Ms. Yes. And what I'd like to say is so far, thus far, I agree with what Ms. Blake has been saying because, you know, a lot of times your parents often wish that at some point you have a child just like you. And the only reason why I think they do that is because they know genetically you will. One of those kids or that one is going to be like you. But, you know, just being around your family members for the number of years that a lot of us, you know, stay in the home, even that has some influence on you. Just being around certain people will rub off on you. And then you've got a lot of other environmental issues, you know, friends and something. Sometimes you'll see a kid out there and they'll be doing something and all of a sudden, I don't know why your brain clicks and it looks awesome or whatever. Then it becomes a habit or a trait that you pick up. So that's how
I see it. Yeah, Ms. X, I think that is so true. But why do you feel that sometimes parents actually want you to have a child? I mean, why do some parents want to have a child that's almost like just like they are?
Well, sometimes it could be for good reasons and your parents are wishing you well. Oftentimes, however, when I've heard it, it's because that child has given them such a hard time that they want the kid to give them an equally as hard time.
And I've heard also that some parents, when they're running through problems with their children, they say this kid is just like the father, or the father will quickly say that this kid is just like the mother. Why do you think? Let me start with this place. This place. Why do you think sometimes the parents the blame game?
Oh, it's a funny thing about that. You know, we always, and I was guilty of it too. We always want to put off the not-so-attractive traits on the other side of the family. It's just what we do sometimes.
Right. Yeah, that is so important. That is so important. That does become important. So it's there. We're going to forego a story tonight and just talk basically on the issue of could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? You know, and I think about it all the times. If you're ever around kids and you know the parents, even when it comes to dating, perhaps if you even want to know how somebody is, check out their children. You know, oftentimes when you start dating, you know what, go and check out the mother, how she treats the father, how he treats the mother. But I say if you're in that age group where you're now having to meet somebody that already has kids, I say go there and check out those children to see how they perform. And it will tell you a little bit about, you know, how that parent might be, because they say the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. Let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air, Zena, and welcome?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, what's your take on that? You know, the blame game, or are parents just say, you know what, this child is just out of control. The fruit don't fall too far from the tree.
I totally agree with that a lot of times. But I think I probably want to speak a little bit more positive on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen those traits. And I'm looking at right now, I'm thinking about my mom and my grandmother. And although my mom had have the facial features as my grandma, but many times I'll say to my mom, oh, you just remind me of my grandma because of her personality or her demeanor, you know, or the way she acts or the way she might say something or her expression, you know. And I think that's really good. And I look like my mom. I resemble my mom. And I often never like hearing it when I was growing up because I've always been hearing that. But now I can, sometimes I'm doing something or I say something and I remind myself of my mom. You know, I said, this is the exact way mom would have say, you know, say it, or I look just like her with that expression. So I don't think it's always a bad thing. You know, of course, they can use it that way, where I've often hear, you know, you're just like your dad, or, you know, or what Dr. Walker said, you're just like your mom in a negative sense. But there's always also positive ways that you look or you behave, because you might have the mannerism of your parents in a positive way. You might have their personality, the positive side of that person, you know. And I remember my daughter, one of my daughters, who as she was growing up, she was a bit mischievous. And now that she has her kids, you know, and she was always stubborn growing up. But now that she has her kids, her oldest daughter, she told me, she said, you know what, my oldest daughter is just like me. She's 10 times what I was, you know. And I'm saying, yeah, you have yourself, you know. This is how you used to be, you know. So I totally agree that parents, the kids' attitude and their demeanor could be like their parents.
Well, that's an interesting perspective on that. And that is a positive twist. Well, Ms. X, let me go to you and ask you, what is another form of perhaps a positive impact or a positive influence that having the attitude or temperament like your parent might be for society out here?
Well, for instance, myself, I always prided myself in being like my dad, because my dad was very shy and quiet. He was pretty much nonverbal. He spoke only if he had something to say, and he got right to the point. He didn't like talking on telephone, which I really don't like either. But on the other hand, my mother was very confrontational, aggressive, you know, and then she liked to talk a lot. Well, she's very sociable. I guess I was somewhat antisocial, and my dad was antisocial. And sometimes, just teasingly, I guess that's what they're doing, because I know that I'm not like that. But, you know, my brothers or other family members will say, you know what, you just like your mother, because they know I hate those traits so much, and they know I'm exactly the opposite.
Right. Ms. Blake, what do you
think? And on the other hand, my son is the total opposite of me. He's like my mom.
Okay, he's like your mom. Wow, that is interesting. That is interesting. So you say your mom was confrontational. Does that? Are you saying that your son is confrontational like your mom?
In some instances, I guess he could be. Most times, you know, I tell him that he's not to bother anyone, but if they present a problem to him, he has the right to speak up and protect himself, as do I or anyone else. I would not ever try to stop someone from speaking up and protecting themselves. But, you know, when you're just confrontational for no reason, you know, you just want something to talk or argue about, you know, and I'm not like that. I don't like arguments and stuff. I'm very quiet.
Right. Ms. Blake, let me ask you this question. Let's bring you in and ask this question. What would make, let's just say, a couple, we don't always know, but in your guesstimation or your mindset, what would make a couple get together that appear to be the opposites that attract? You know, like one party might be confrontational, like Ms. X just said, that about her mother in some ways, and then the father being not one who had much to say, not like to even talk on the telephone. What would bring parties together like that, in your opinion? Then, Ms. X, I'm going to come to you and ask you, how did such a relationship work out, you know, with your parent? Ms. Blake first.
Well, it's just a theory. That's all I can put out here. And basically, it could be any other trait. Sometimes people are attracted to what they are not. You know, it could be sometimes a very shy person might be very attracted to an outgoing person. Or there just could be some physical attraction that's bringing them together.
I see. Okay, and then Rose, will come to you in just a moment. Let me ask Ms. X here. Ms. X, in your own family dynamics with your parents, your mother, you presented as sometimes on occasion being confrontational, and your father, a quiet, soft-spoken man that didn't really have a lot to say unless he actually had, in fact, something to say. How did such a relationship, from your opinion, work out?
Well, I think sometimes because of her confrontational behavior, she would push the buttons and push him to the edge. Sometimes he didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to argue. He didn't want to fuss. Didn't want to, you know, fight, whatever. But then she wouldn't shut up, so.
Okay. So when you push him to the buttons, what if anything might happen?
There could be many things embarrassing. Things that I don't care to go into.
Oh, okay. All right. While we're finding humor in that one, let me go to Rose in just a second.
The thing is, I love them both dearly.
I know. You know, it's so unfortunate sometimes our parents may not have gotten it right, even with us viewing how they conducted themselves around the home. But nevertheless, you know, they loved us, I'm sure, in their own way, as we love them in our own way. So let me go to Rose and get your thoughts on this.
Opposite attract, there's always that saying, that phrase that you always often hear, that opposite attract. And I agree with what Ms. Blake said, but I would venture to probably say, in my opinion, I think maybe it might be a possibility that sometimes the opposite attracts because one party sees in the other party what they wish they could be, you know, so they like it. Like even for Miss X's parents, you know, the father was more mild and the mom was confrontational. Maybe the father wished that he could speak his mind the way she does, you know, and that attracted him to her because, you know, although that's not his personality, he would love to have that trait, but, you know, you can't really make yourself be what you're really not. And so he sees that in her and says, you know what, I really like that because I wish I could just stand up for myself the way she does and just speak my mind without caring what anyone says. And so that might attract him to her because he wished he could be like that. So I think that sometimes we see in the other person something that we might be lacking, and we wish that we could have that, and that might attract us to the other person.
I think that's interesting. Tonight we're talking about, tonight's topic is, could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? You know, sometimes people are in denial when they wonder, you know, the friends or other family members, particularly friends that may not even know your family members, wonder at times, why does she act like this or why does he act like that? And even the individual themselves sometimes might be upset that they wonder, why am I acting like this? I need to do some soul searching on my own character, on my own personality, because I'm not liking me these last few days or something to that effect. So, Ms. Blake, why is that so important that people need to do soul searching?
Well, that's because they really have to know who they are. Can you hear me? Yeah, it's important because they know who they are. Again, I talked about it earlier. You can't really get involved in relationships if you don't know who you are or your motive or what's within you. So you have to search your own soul.
Well, I think that becomes vitally important that people do search themselves to who they are. You know, and I have a kind of a rule of thumb, and Ms. X, I'm going to bring this back to you in just a moment, or bring it to you in just a moment, and that is, my rule of thumb is, if generally three people have said to you, and these may have been three people that you've dated, that, wow, you seem to have a bad attitude, and they can be even more specific. It's like, wow, you're selfish. Let's just say three people that you've previously dated, and this is kind of a general standard that I use, that they've told you that you're selfish, and they may have gone into, one or two of them may have gone into detail, then I think that there might be some validity to that if they're not just saying that as a comeback, but they're generally saying, you know, one person can say something and you think, oh, he or she's just saying that, but then if a second person is saying that, and then a third person that you've dated over a course of years, then that might mean that there's something that needs to be changed about the selfishness that you're displaying to other people. Ms. X, do you think that that might be a general standard that might be something to be reconsidered?
Yes, I do. I think that's something to look into, especially when you have more people saying that than not. For instance, I've been told, well, you're too nice. And as I was growing, you know, I probably was, you know, probably a footstool, and people, you know, sometimes you get stepped over, you get used. And those were the times when I said, geez, I wish I were a little bit more like my mother, you know. I didn't want to be 100% like her, but I wanted to be a little bit more outspoken. So I had to work on that. And I remember reading, listening actually to one of Dr. Martin Luther King's speeches, and he said, no one can ride your back unless it's bent. And that had an impact on me. And it started making me, I said, well, geez, you know, it's kind of right. And I was in some relationship at that time, and I knew, I said, you know what, you just have to straighten your back. Because people can't do to you those things that they think they can do unless you allow it. And that was the key word, you know. So, yeah, I think when people point out certain aspects or traits or personality traits or whatever about you, I think that it bears some looking into, because it may be something that it could be enhancing, but it may be something that needs to be corrected as well.
Okay.
I'm no longer a footstool, though.
So when people were saying that, so you're saying that the standard that I say were three people that you formerly dated might say to you that one is selfish or saying something that you, or in your case, they were saying you're nice. So you think that standard needs to be reconsidered? I'm thinking that based on what you said, that it probably does not need to be reconsidered. That in fact, that might be a good standard. By both of them coming in just a second with the same question. Go ahead, Ms. X.
No, were you saying what needed to be reconsidered was if they said you were selfish or if you were nice? I'm not sure.
Yeah, those standards, the standards that three people might say that who you formerly dated. Remember, sometimes people see, you know, the old saying that science says there are three ways in which we're viewed: the way we see ourselves, the way others see us, and then the way that we are. And the way that we are is probably the most difficult way that we really truly identify ourselves, and sometimes it takes other people to tell us, you know, from their perspective, who they think we really are. And if three people have said that, then there might be some validity to that, to say, I wonder if I'm really selfish. I wonder if I'm really selfish.
That's what I said. Yeah, if you've heard it enough times, it may be well worth looking into and trying to correct for whatever reason.
Okay, so we are saying the same thing. Rose, let's go to you. Do you think that that's a general standard to govern oneself by? I mean, three past relationships. In this case, Ms. X said the people were saying she's too nice, and she herself has said she was once a footstool. And she quoted Dr. Martin Luther King by saying, no one can ride your back unless you've bent over. And all she had to do was actually straighten up her back, and she's no longer a footstool. Do you think that that standard is something that you know, is a general kind of standard to maybe go by?
I think it's a possibility, but I don't think, I'm not going to say it's a rule of thumb, because people say things to you for the wrong reasons. They might say things to you to get at you because they want to break you. They want you to feel insecure or want to take away your self-worth. I think it depends on how you feel about yourself. If several people keep telling you the same thing, I understand, then okay, you can do some soul searching to see if what they're saying is actually the truth, you know, and look into the reason why they actually said that, and then decide within yourself if you really believe it, you know. But I don't think I would base what I believe about myself based on what others, you know, tell me. I have to like myself, you know. And I think it could be dangerous if someone just take what others say about them. You know, it could kind of ruin their self-esteem or their self-worth. So I think we have to be, at least I think I would have to be careful as to what I believe about what someone is saying about me. Or I could just take the attitude and say, you know what, whatever they want to say, that's their opinion. As long as I like myself and I'm making sure I'm living my life the way the Lord wants me to live it, you know, then I'll be satisfied. But I understand that you could search yourself to see if there's any truth in what they're saying and deciding, you know, if you really believe that to be true after you do your searching.
Great point.
Okay. That's a great point. I agree with you, Ms. X. That's a great point. Ms. Blake, let's bring you in just before we bring some of the comments in. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? If you want to speak to that, you can certainly press 1 on the dial. We would love to hear your thoughts, your comments. You can just simply say, you know what, when it comes to attitude or temperament, you know, am I really like my father? Am I really like my mother? Or could I be my attitude or temperament seemingly be that of one of another family member, like an auntie or a grandparent? So that's the topic for tonight. Could our attitude or temperament be that of our parents? Ms. Blake, when we hear, we talk about attitudes, and people say, well, in order to be elevated to another level, you need to have a positive attitude in life. Why is that so important?
Because your attitude is everything. You know, as you think, so you are. And I think I remember quoting one time somewhere that you are what you think you are, because that has a major influence on things. I'd like to also comment on the last discussion, if you don't mind, Dr. Walker.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, when you asked the question about if you've been in three relationships, past relationships, and they all said you were selfish, I think that there does need to be some, and it's just my opinion, some stock taken in that. Because if you're in three different relationships and they're all telling you the same thing, you may need to step back and ask yourself, well, am I? But the other thing to keep in mind, as someone told me before, is never put too much commitment in comments from people who don't have your best interests at heart. So the question you really have to ask is, when did they tell you this? Were they angry when they said it? Or you're so selfish? Or if you went back and, you know, you have a better relationship with them now, you're no longer in a relationship, and you may be evaluating why it didn't work, and they said, well, you know, you're a really nice person, but one of the issues I had is you are very selfish. I don't know if you realize that. So you may need to examine. It doesn't have to affect your self-esteem, but you may need to see if it needs some improvement.
Well, I like what you're saying, and there's a great deal of wealth, wisdom in what you've just presented. And I, too, agree with that, you know, we look at it sometimes with how the person may have presented, you know, certain things. You know, did they say it? You're right. Did they say it when they were angry? But a true friend, even a true lover, will, I believe, should, if they don't, should come out and say, you know what, even when it's not a moment when you're not liking each other, feeling each other, they should say, well, you know what, I asked if we could talk this evening because there were some things that were troubling me, you know, and every issue does not have to be necessarily debatable or argumentative. It could be just very well where you say, well, you know what, I wanted to have a talk with you this evening, you know, if you don't mind. You know, it can be done in a nice way that,
right.
You know, some of the concerns that I've had is that, you know, I'm always buying you flowers, but you never even consider buying me a pair of socks, you know, that match my shoes, my only one pair of shoes that I have. You know, tennis shoes at that or something. You know, and so he says, I just wonder, you know, I'm always doing things for you, but, you know, and you seem to be appreciative of it. But when it comes to me, you know, I even say, how are you today? You know, how you feeling, sweetheart, my darling, and so forth and so on. And then you're always like, I'm good. Thank you. You know, I'm good. But you never even reciprocate that by saying, well, how are you today, my love? You know, and so, so if the guy, in this case, if the guy presents that to the woman, I think stock needs to be taken that person also thinks in terms of reciprocating. Rose, we're going to come to you and ask you a question on that because sometimes people say, you're only saying how are you because they said it to you. So it's not genuine. So the question becomes, is it something that's not genuine, or is it just common practice that we do? You know, even when you're learning a different language and they say, you know, ¿cómo está? How are you? And then it says, muy bueno. And you. I mean, so they teach these common practices, and I think that it's an unselfish practice to do. But then some people take it out of context, perhaps. Or is it taken out of context, Rose?
No, I don't think so. If someone says good morning to you and asks you how are you, I think it's common courtesy for you to ask the same question, how are you doing? You know, show that you do also care. So if I say good morning, how are you doing today? The person might say I'm fine, and how are you? I think that's just courtesy that you should. That just matters, you know. You said that. People think maybe you're just saying it because one person, another. But no, I think that is just the normal. That's just the norm. Someone asks you how you are, you also ask the person if your spouse. You get home and your spouse asks you how was your day today, sweetie. I think it's only fair after you explain how your day has been that you know the other party asks how was your day also. So you both share. Things. I don't think that's that anything is really wrong with that.
Interesting perspective. I think that that's vital, Logan, what you presented. Ms. X, we're going to stand by. Ms. Blake, just 1 second. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to start taking some of the comments that have come in. Let's go to 863-412. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Yes. How are you doing this evening?
We're doing just great. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
We have Dennis this evening.
Thank you, Dennis, for joining us. Dennis, give us your take on all of this stuff. I mean, are people out there selfish? Do their attitudes reflect that of their parents? What is going on?
Yes to all of that.
Okay.
I'm going to start with myself. I have a lot of my father's ways. I try to pick up the better parts, but I notice at times that I have some of the parts that I disliked about my father. I still have it because I spend a lot of time with him, and so I pick those things up. I try to stay away from the negative part, but every now and then they come out. I also have qualities of my mother's. So when people, you know, sometimes people can't see it. Just at work yesterday, one lady said to another, if you look at me like that one more time, I'm going to hit you upside your head. And the girl said, well, how do I look at you? She didn't even realize the negative look that she gave the lady. And, you know, some people say, you know, if your looks were knives, I'd be all cut up.
Right.
So what happens, people don't realize, don't even think about themselves. They think about how others are and don't even look internally to see the things that they do or things that they say or how they treat people. And we all need to step back and look and listen to self sometimes.
I agree with you, Dennis. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's probably the hard part. Ms. X, why is that so hard sometimes for people, from your opinion, to step back and take a close look at themselves to see that, you know, they may not be all that? Some people say they're all that and more.
Yeah, and a bag of chips. But anyway, some people don't want to face reality. It's just kind of hard when someone's telling you, especially if it's something negative, to want to accept that that's the person that you are.
Right, that's an interesting thought. Rose, let me throw this comment. We got to take some of the comments in there. Ms. Blake, I'm going to ask you the same comment from this young lady. She writes in, she says, in reference to tonight's show, she says, I have been told, tonight's topic, could our attitude or temperament be a product of that of our parents? She says, I have been told by several of my family and friends that I have a bad attitude, just like my own mother. Recently, I've seen it. Now that I have seen it, I want to change my attitude because I really don't like my mother's attitude. Wow, Rose, that is deep. I mean, if the friends recognize that, and now she's saying she finally see it, and she doesn't even like her mother's own attitude, but I think she's no longer in denial. What advice, if any, would you be able to give her to help her out with that?
Oh, that's a hard one, Dr. Walker. So obviously now she's seeing it for herself. She's realizing that she does have her mom's attitude. Well, that's the first step. At least now she's acknowledging that, you know. Maybe Ms. Blake probably can shed some light on that, whether to see if therapy might help her in this situation, or if she just decide to, I'm not sure, you know, find ways how to not exhibit those bad traits. You know, identify one thing that she sees on herself that she does not like about her, you know, the way her mom did it, and now she's recognizing that she's doing the same thing. Recognize one way and take it one step at a time and decide, okay, I am not going to do this any longer. And every time she finds herself doing it, you know, she tries to correct herself until over time, I'm sure it will correct itself. It will change. And I like the fact that her family members pointed out to her, because I was thinking that maybe sometimes we might need to take inventory of ourselves, and we maybe get our siblings or close relatives to give us their opinion of how do they see us, you know. Maybe we might write on a list of specifics, you know, how is my attitude toward this? Do you see me as being selfish? Do you see me as being caring? You know, and let them ask them for their honest opinion, and maybe start from there and get the feedback from different family members, different relatives, and see if it actually coincides with each other. See if it actually matches if everyone's saying the same thing or close to it, you know, and they will probably can take stock into that.
Well, that's along the same line. Interesting perspective, Rose, and that's along the same path of what we asked with the general standard, you know, that I presented earlier, you know, where we can take stock, unless, of course, you see it differently.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, earlier when we talked about the general standard, if three people tell you the same thing, I think we were talking about three persons that you dated. Okay, so I think it's a little bit different, because if you're asking your siblings and your close relatives to kind of give you feedback as to how you are, if it were me, I would say I would trust my siblings and my close relatives more than I would trust my exes, you know, as to how they see me, because they might see me that way because they don't like me anymore, or they're mad at me, or it could be something at the time that happened that they just throw this out at me just to hurt my feelings, okay? But if my siblings are saying this, that, and the other, I'm going to say, you know, well, they're not doing it unless my siblings and I don't get along, will that be different? But if it's family members that, you know, you love each other, you get along well, I think I would trust that a little bit more.
Well, that's an interesting perspective too, Rose. But I'm thinking, and you know, I slightly deviate to some of that which you presented, and Ms. Blake, we're going to come to you with the same thought or question. And that is the reason why I slightly deviate from that, because I'm thinking that if family members do get along, as you said, Rose, if you do get along real good and you love each other and you're not accustomed to conflict, then family members are always sparing your feelings. I don't think that they're going to clearly be honest with you. But, like, I mean, can you see that?
Possibly, yeah. I think that what I look at is the three people that you dated, if there's all three of them saying the same thing, it is
right.
Worth looking at, because what are the chances of the common denominator is not them, it's actually you.
Okay, and now in reference to the comment that came in, that the young lady, she would, what if, with your life coaching experience, what, if anything, might you say to her that can help her to change? I like what Rose said, you know, pick one thing earlier that she said, that, and, you know, you start to work on that. What, if anything, could you say to this young lady to help her to maybe, you know, change some of the attitudes that she sees in the mirror when she looks and says, oh, this is my mother again, you know?
Well, she will probably need to go get some therapy. That would be one of the things I put on her life coaching plan. And then in our weekly sessions, we talk about those things also that trigger that, you know, talk a little bit more about what it was about her mom that she found negative, and maybe what is triggering her responses and what are the similarities. So it's not therapy, but it would kind of like back up what she's already discovering. So, and then finding ways to just be positive, to negate those negative thoughts. And that's a whole show in itself, really, how to, you know, just push those thoughts away. And there's some things about that I could talk more when we have more time.
Okay, we're speaking of time. We only have about 6 minutes before we have to bring the show to a complete close. Just before I do, I want you all to know that next week's topic is, should other people's opinions of you really matter to you? Should they really matter to you? Should other people's opinions of you really matter to you? So that's next week's topic. And let me just go now, Ms. X, with you, if you don't mind. And let's take a look at this next comment. And this person writes in, and they say, this male, actually, he writes in, and he says, I find that women have the worst attitude because they seem to always be angry or mad about something, even when they are alone. I often think it's inherited in their genes. Ms. X, this man, you think he's mad while he's saying that? He says women have the worst attitudes, and he thinks it's inherited in their genes, maybe like their mom?
I don't know. The thing with that is maybe some of the women that he's bumped into, it appeared that it was them when it could possibly have been he himself. And then you have to wonder sometimes because, I mean, we do have a lot of responsibility that's placed on our shoulders, you know, with having to take care of the home and the husband and sometimes going out to work and the children and, you know, and we may well be, you know, not enough money coming in. Maybe, you know, he's sitting home and he's not working and he can't figure out why she's mad. You know, so it could be a number of reasons why those particular women that he's talking about appear to be angry.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. So, yeah, but it sounds almost as if we're looking for an excuse to say, you know, why, in this case, the young man writes in his comment, but we're looking for an excuse to say, well, women have entitlement to be mad or angry all the time. That's what it sounds like you're saying here, Ms. X. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't think we have an entitlement to it, but I think there are times when we may have to be angry. I don't want to be angry all the time. I don't think there's a woman alive who wants to be angry all the time. Some people just may be mean-spirited, you know. But, no, I don't think there's an entitlement. But he may be looking for excuse by saying that women are always angry, so he can go out and do whatever it is he wants to do.
All right, so
there's an entitlement to their anger.
All right. We're going to ask you to hold that thought, Ms. X, and we're winding up, and we're going to take about three more comments that have come into the studio. Let's go to 843-601. We're going to ask everybody to be brief because I really got to get off the show on time tonight. Let's go to 843-601. Who do we have on the air, and welcome.
Hey, Doc, you got Montague Bradley. How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you, Ms. Montague? Tell us, you know, I want you to respond, if you don't mind, to that last comment that was made. You know, do women have an entitlement to being mad or angry all the time? And if you can, just give it to us in 15 seconds or less.
15 seconds or less. Mark, women entitled to being angry? Sure, just as much as men are entitled to be angry. Here's what's going on. Lack of communication. As the sister said earlier, there could be money problems, which is the number one root to all divorces, you know, money. People are upset because things aren't the way they really know in their spirit they should be. So we need to get it there as best we can. That takes communication and commitment.
All right. Let's bring Dennis in just for a quick thought. Dennis, basically the same question. You know, do women have that entitlement?
No, they just think they do, but they don't have that entitlement.
Okay.
Let me tell you this. It's in the husband's handbook that women do not have entitlement, but men are supposed to be the head of the household. And the problem happened is a woman got a hold of the husband's handbook and tried to take it over.
Oh, so you're saying that perhaps women got this book from Steve Harvey, Act Like a Woman But Think Like a Man. So that's part of the man's handbook. That's interesting.
That's
right. Dennis, let me give you this other comment. Let me bring you in for this comment because we are running out of time right now. This male right here, he says, I think we all have bad and good or good attitudes or temperaments like that of our parents, because it is said that the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. Dennis, how valid is that comment?
Oh, that's a very valid comment. If you spent any time with your parents or grandmother, relatives, you're going to pick up some of their habits. If you ever cuss around your children and then you're out in public and they say the same word, you say, where do you get that from?
Okay, that's a very interesting thought. Ms. Blake, let me bring you in. We're not quite ready to close yet. Ms. Blake, this female, she says, my sister and I are both in our 20s, and I am the youngest. Our attitudes and temperaments are as different as night and day, and we have the same parents biologically. I have a lot of friends, and she has no friends because her attitude is horrible. Neither of our parents are like that, so I don't know where she gets it from. Perhaps a distant relative, or that's just the way she is. Ms. Blake, what do you think? I mean, is she on point? She has no idea.
Well, there's probably something that has happened. There may be something she doesn't know about that has contributed to that attitude. Sometimes they're family secrets.
All right. This final thought here. Rose, we're going to add, this is going to be twofold. We're going to give you the first one, and then, Ms. Blake, we're going to ask you to bring us on home to close it out here. This female, she says, perhaps you, in reference to tonight's topic, could our attitude or temperament be a product of our parents? Perhaps you could help me with this question. My older sister is really bossy to our siblings, and we are all adults in our 30s and 40s, and she tends to think she has to play the parent role to us. I, along with my other siblings, talk about her and do not like it at all. As a matter of fact, we seldom call her because she always feels she has to give us advice, which we don't ask for. How should we handle this with her because we do love her? Rose, give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I think you mentioned that that's an older sibling, and I'm not sure of the age difference, but it seems as if that older sibling is much older than the others, and so she just assumed the responsibility, maybe ever since they were young, she assumed this responsibility of helping the mom to raise them. And so maybe that's the reason why she is the way she is. Maybe they need to talk to her, you know, one-on-one, and let her know exactly how they feel about her role as acting like their mom, and let her know that they don't like it, you know. I'm not sure if they've ever spoken to her, but if they haven't, that's what they need to do, sit down and talk to her. And let her know, this is in a loving way, of course, and let her know that they do not appreciate that.
See, and Rose, I picked you first on that one because, you know, you talked about earlier that your family members will tell you the truth, but that's not always the case because they will if they get along, but that's not always the case because they oftentimes want to spare your feelings. Ms. Blake, just before I come to you, I want to bring Ms. X in because I feel she's itching to respond to that also. Ms. X, how would you respond to that where you got an older sibling that's bossy and you're already an adult and you're not asking for unsolicited advice? How would you handle a situation like that?
Well, I guess I was in a situation like that with my older brother, and I guess my attitude at the time, my personality was probably as strong as his, so there was a lot. I challenged him on a lot of things.
Okay, interesting. Let's bring Monique in just for a brief one, and Ms. Blake, you'll close out, but I want to bring Monique and Dennis in. Monique, how would you approach something like that where you got a sibling who think that they still got to play that parent role?
Well, you can hear me all right?
We can hear you now, clearly.
Very good. Sibling, parent role. Well, it depends on the age and the mentality. And, you know, there is a gift for being a parent, and it comes without repentance. So you can get it early and fall into a habit where you're not really in the position. Just deal with them. Talk to them. Communicate. When they step across the line, remind them, you crossed the line, buddy. And just roll with it. It's a God thing.
Okay. All right. We're going to pose that same question to Dennis, and then Ms. Blake will finally close it out. Dennis, what do you think? You got that older sibling that thinks that they're your mom or your dad. All right, perhaps we've lost Dennis.
let's go back. Ms. Blake, bring us on home for the evening. That older sibling, Ms. Blake, what's a loving way, like Rose said, tell them in a loving way? I mean, is there any other way?
Well, you can tell them in a loving way, or tell them in a way that they would understand. You know, and I may not be the best person because I didn't grow up with siblings, but I do have some as I got older. And you just got to keep it real with them, and you have to approach each person differently. But they need to, you know, let them know that, you know, you kind of, you really want their advice, you'll ask for it. And I guess just to close us out, I believe that attitude is everything. That it influences your perception, and you can pick it up from your family members, your environment. And it's really good to examine yourself and your attitude, because it impacts relationships constantly.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my guests, of course, my co-hosts, those of you that didn't get an opportunity to come in. We ask that you call in earlier now so that we can certainly take your call and bring you into the conversation. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program, which airs over the broadcast airwaves from 7 o'clock to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday night's show, join us again live back here next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, where our topic will be so that other people's opinions of you really matter to you. All right, if you can't join us next Friday, this Friday, then join us next Tuesday for the Dr. Walker Show. And until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.